the General Motors Hour. General Motors Holdens, through the Macquarie Network and cooperating stations in all states, present The End of the Affair, starring Margot Lee and Richard Davies. This is John Deese introducing our play. Tonight we are very pleased to broadcast a radio version of Graham Greene's best-selling novel, which became a very successful Columbia film, The End of the Affair. This is a very powerful drama in which we star Margot Lee and Richard Davies. The play will be produced by Harry Harper. And so to Act One of the General Motors Hour production of The End of the Affair.
Hello, Bendix, old man. Nice to see you.
Nice to be here, Henry. A nice party.
Have you a drink?
Not right now, if you don't mind. Well, Henry, you have a charming house here. I didn't quite imagine you in a house like this.
Oh, that's my wife's doing. She found it.
Isn't that your wife?
Where?
Just coming out of that door behind us.
Oh, yes, that's Sarah. But how do you know? You have your back to her.
I saw her. In that mirror.
Oh. Sarah, dear.
Yes, Henry. Just a moment.
I've seen your wife lots of times walking in the square. A funny thing about being near neighbors, Henry, sometimes one remains a stranger for months.
Oh, we're not really conservative, Bendrix. Sarah.
Yes, darling.
I'd like you to meet Morris Bendrix. My wife?
Oh, the writer.
Ah, the graceful memory of the civil servant's wife. I must remember that.
Will you excuse me a moment? I'll get some drinks.
Yes, darling.
I shan't be long.
You're writing a book about a civil servant, aren't you, Mr. Bendix?
Yeah, I'm afraid it's going to be pretty dull. I mean, my writing will make it so. Why aren't I in uniform?
I didn't ask.
I was discharged a year ago and started writing again. Can I get you a sherry? Henry seems to be caught up over there.
No, thank you. I've got to go on like this for hours.
You do it very well.
Oh, I like it.
I notice.
What?
Things you do very well. In that mirror over there.
You saw me...
kissing that French officer.
It was frivolous.
I thought it looked passionate.
You'll excuse me.
No, I think I'll go.
Bendix, you're not leaving.
Well, I'm afraid I have some work to do, Henry.
Oh, I envy you writer fellows the ability to put down what you think.
Ah, but you see, we often put down what we don't think.
There is some virtue in false impressions.
Possibly.
You know, Bendrix, I think Sarah could help with your book. She could tell you more about my life than I could myself. And besides, she's much more observant than I am.
I'm sure Mr. Bendrix is very observant.
Sarah, why don't you and Bendrix arrange something, a meeting, a chat? I'm sure you could help him with his book. Well, why don't you arrange something?
I think I will.
Good. Sarah will see you off.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Henry. Rules tomorrow night at 7?
What for?
Dinner.
Yes, Mr. Bendrix.
There we are, Mrs. Miles, our drinks.
Oh, Sarah...
Oh, thank you. Morris.
Morris. I like it.
Have a drink. Lucky to get a whiskey. Oh, drink it. Never know when the Blitz might waste it.
I like the drink, too.
I'm glad you don't always order sherry. It's a dull drink.
No, I don't really like it, but it suits some people.
Especially civil servants.
Especially. You wanted to ask me something? I mean, about your book.
You realize what we're doing? Sitting at this bar, looking in the mirror...
A mirror.
Yesterday I saw you close up for the first time in a mirror.
But I've explained, Morris.
Yes, it was frivolous.
Your book.
Oh, yes. Well, you see, no matter how inventive a writer thinks he is, there are certain things he has to know. In my novels, which ones have you read?
Well, I haven't read any.
Now, look, when your husband introduced us and you heard my name, you said, the writer?
Well, I read some of the reviews of your books. You know, Henry would be frightfully pleased if you put him in a book.
Will you?
Yes.
And will you trust him to me after... without having read my books?
Trust is a variable quality. It...
Oh. Wipe your mouth.
Oh, yes. Did you kiss me because you saw me kissing a Frenchman yesterday?
Well, I thought it was. But look, our table's ready. Let's go and have dinner. You know, Sarah, when I invited you out to dinner tonight, it was with the cold intention of picking the brains of a civil servant's wife. But I'm beginning to think I'm in a strange country without a map. Maybe it's you that makes it seem so. I can't picture your life.
Oh, it's quite ordinary. Of course, the war has made a difference. I watched you walk away from the house yesterday.
I wasn't sure, but I felt I was being looked at.
I thought, he's leaving. I had hope, but...
What?
I felt there was something unsaid.
Then you knew it first.
Yes, Morris.
It's getting late.
Yes.
I can't take you home yet.
No. Not home.
Let's find a taxi. Good afternoon, Martha.
Oh, good afternoon, Mr. Bendricks. Mrs. Miles is upstairs in the drawing room, sir. She's expecting you.
Oh, thank you.
Go straight upstairs, please, sir.
Oh, Sarah. I thought the time would never pass.
Morris. Morris.
Do you realize you were away almost a week?
5 days.
Oh, I've missed you. For a year, I've lived down the street from you, and your house was just one of a row of houses, a number I never even saw. And now, when you're away, the whole street seems empty. Don't ever leave me again. Oh, Sarah.
Morris. The blackout. I almost forgot the curtains.
I didn't realize it was so late. I really shouldn't have come here.
Why not?
Well, with that maid hanging about.
Oh, but she always knocks.
And Henry, he might come home any minute.
She should have heard him.
You haven't told me where you were.
Oh, very dull place. Brighton.
What were you doing there?
No, it would bore you to hear.
Were you with someone you've known a long time?
Yes.
Longer than Henry?
No, much.
Does Henry know where you were?
No, not exactly.
Hmm? Secret visit, huh?
In a way.
You know, it's funny, I could be asking all these questions in a different tone of voice and we'd be having a jealous scene. Where were you? With whom were you? What's his name?
Morris.
Was it just frivolous?
I was with my mother.
You're joking.
But why? What did you think?
I was thinking... Just talking.
Henry and she don't quite hit it off. Every now and then I go down.
I told you every day. The maid said you were away.
And I spent some time with her.
I'm jealous. I'm jealous of someone who's known you so long and so well. Known you when you were little, defenseless, uncomplicated.
I might have to go back to Brighton.
But you've just come home.
Henry's coming.
I said you've just come home.
Please, Morris. Cigarette?
Sarah.
Hello, darling.
Oh, you're back.
Hello, Bendrix.
Henry.
How are you, darling?
How are you?
Oh, fine.
How's the war going in your department, Henry?
Well, I'm in pensions, you know, so I keep busy. Oh,
Henry and his widows.
Well, they used to be old ones, and I didn't mind so much, but now all those young widows, most of them with so little to remember, it's so troubling. Bendrix, I have something to tell you.
Yes?
I have something to suggest, something you might like to use in your book about the civil servant.
Oh, yes.
Well, a lot of our chaps have hobbies. In fact, it seems to be rather the thing among civil servants. Music, painting, writing. We even have an amateur geologist and quite a fair poet.
What's your hobby?
Well, I haven't any. I don't seem to need one. Do I, sir?
No, dear.
Well, I must be leaving. Thank you, Henry. It was very kind of you to think about my book.
Oh, well, that sort of thing rounds off the character, doesn't it?
It helps. Don't bother to come down, Henry. I know the way out.
Righto. See you again soon?
Yes.
I'll show you out.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Henry. Sarah.
What is it, Morris? What's wrong?
Well, Sarah, didn't you mind?
Mind?
You don't even know what I'm talking about, do you?
Henry?
Only the moment matters with you. First the moment with me, and now the moment with Henry.
Morris, please.
You must bear with me, Sarah. This is the first time I've held you with my arms in your own house, Henry's house. And then watched Henry come in and your face, how you deceived him without saying a word.
I love you, Morris. I'd never deceive you.
Even as you said, your face is full of truth, the ease with which you do it. How can you stand there and look at me as if I were Henry, all the love washed out of your face?
That isn't true.
I can feel myself turning into your dull husband and you, my unfaithful wife. You had to see your mother. You've been away in Brighton. How do I know you've been there?
You have no real trust in me.
Because I don't know how long it'll be before I'm like Henry and someone else is like me.
You have no right.
I have no right where you're concerned, sir. I'm just a passenger in your life. Someone you picked up on the way. Someone you'll drop off when it suits you.
Morris, Morris, darling, I love you. What more can I say? I want to go on seeing you.
Not here. Never again in Henry's house.
I'll come to your house.
When?
I don't know, Morris.
Well, it suits you, I suppose. If it suits you. Sarah. Oh, it's been 3 days.
Yes, Morris. Look, aren't the flowers lovely? I went shopping for them. I'll find a vase.
Wait, sir.
Yes.
You look lovely. And the flowers...
I couldn't resist them. The whole world in chaos, and they just keep on blooming. It gives me a kind of faith.
In what?
Oh, I don't know. The lilacs that bloom every year, the apples keep growing on apple trees. Morris, you look angry. I can't imagine why anyone can be angry on a day like this.
Well, there's an air in it.
I feel safe in your house.
I'm not angry.
I didn't really mean you. I was thinking of those soapbox orators in the park. I walked by that way and they were all furious about something. Capitalism or military service or foreign aid... There was even one man who was angry about God.
Huh?
Yes. Actually, it scared me a little.
Why didn't you come here sooner? It's been 3 days. 3 days wasted. Or were they? Sarah, what...
Please, Morris, please don't. You torment yourself so much. I don't like to see you miserable. Morris... I loved you enough to hesitate about going on. I mean, seeing you again. I know now, after 3 days, I must come here. Again and again.
Those don't sound like ordinary bombs. No, they're something different.
Don't go near the window, Morris. It's dangerous.
They look like planes on fire, but they're not. Look, I think you'd better get out of here, sir. I don't like the look of those things.
No, I'd rather stay here.
If anything should happen and you're here... Look, let me see you across the square.
Let me stay here with you.
And if you won't go home, we'd better go to the basement. It's safer.
But your landlady may be there. I couldn't face
her. Well, I'll go down and see.
No, Morris, don't leave me. Don't go.
I'll be right back.
Morris!
I told you, sir. I'll be right back.
I love you.
Oh. Morris! I can't lift this door off you! It's so heavy, I can't... Morris! Morris! Dead.
Sarah.
You. Morris, you're alive. It's really you. You're not dead.
No. No.
But you're hurt.
It's just my face scratched. What are you doing on your knees?
I don't know. I was praying, I think.
You should have come downstairs.
I did, but I couldn't see you. Only a hand stretched out from under the door. I couldn't lift the door. I was certain you were dead.
The door wasn't holding me.
It was so heavy.
It wasn't heavy. I just crawled out. How long was I down there?
I don't really know. 5, 10 minutes.
I had such an odd sensation when I came to a terrific sense of space and distance. As if I'd been on a long journey. Like a dream. All this looks unreal. Even you. I'd better take you home.
No. I'll go alone.
Shall I see you tomorrow?
May not be safe.
I survived this.
Yes. Yes, you did.
Zerda.
I'm tired, Morris.
You can't go like this. You're walking out. When shall I see you? When? Don't shake your head. Do you mean...
Don't look so frightened. Morris, love doesn't end just because we don't see each other.
Don't see each other. Morris, you're not dead. That look on your face when I came back and saw you kneeling here, you weren't praying, you were just sitting on the floor. You've been lying, deceiving me.
Morris.
All the time at heart, you were hoping for my death so that you could leave me with an easy conscience. You waited 10 minutes, left me lying down there. You didn't try to help to get that doll off me. You were hoping for my death. Get out. Get out. Get out!
And so ends Act One of our play. 11 candles on a birthday cake are usually the signal for congratulations and a certain amount of pride. And so it is with General Motors Holdens. November the 29th marks the 11th birthday of the Holden car, which first rolled off the GMH assembly lines on November 29th, 1948. Here's how it all began. In 1944, the Chifley government asked manufacturers to submit proposals for producing motor vehicles in Australia. General Motors Holdens was the only organization courageous enough to accept the challenge. The proposal GMH submitted made no demands for extra tariff protection, subsidies, bounties, import restrictions, or other concessions. In fact, GMH made it clear that they would welcome competition under the same conditions. New processes were introduced, new plant and equipment installed. Australian engineers, technologists, scientists, and operatives were trained, both here and overseas, in the most efficient methods of automotive manufacture. Skilled engineers, production men, and know-how were freely contributed by the General Motors Corporation in America. Not one detail was left to chance. Not a single effort was spared to make Holden the big step forward its planners visualized. Today, the total has spiraled to well over 600,000, and 13,000 Holdens have been exported to countries overseas. Because of constant demand, the annual production rate for Holden has increased to 115,000 and will rise to 125,000 when GMH's fifth post-war expansion is completed. What better proof, if proof were needed, of the wisdom and foresight behind the oft-repeated General Motors Holden's aim to make more and better things for more people. And now Act Two of the General Motors Hour production of The End of the Affair.
Henry! Henry!
Yes?
Remember me?
Why, Bendrix, it's a long time since we've seen you.
A year. I've been away. I decided to come back. Things are different in London now. The war's over. Everything's changed. What I used to hate, I can bear now.
I'm glad you called out to me. I rather want someone to talk to. Sarah's out. Shall we go into the house?
All right, Henry.
Thank you. I want to talk about Sarah. I'm worried about her. You're not getting much warmth from the fire, Bendix.
I'm fine, thanks, Henry. You said you wanted to talk about Sarah.
Yes, I'm worried about her.
Is she ill?
No. No. Bendix, I'm afraid. I've always thought the worst thing any man can do, the very worst...
You know you can trust me, Henry.
Yes. Yes, I know. I want you to read this. Please.
In reply to your inquiry, I would suggest you employ the service of a fellow named Savage, 159 Vigo Street. From all reports, he has the reputation of being both able and discreet.
I haven't done anything about it, but that letter has sat in my desk reminding me... Seems silly, doesn't it, that I can trust Sarah absolutely not to come into my study and read it? And yet I can't trust her. Well, she's out for a walk now. A walk?
You mean you want a private detective to follow Sarah?
They always say, don't they, that a husband is the last person to know. I thought tonight when I met you in the square, if I told you and you laughed at me, I might be able to burn this letter. You do think that I'm a fool, don't you?
No. After all, Sarah's human.
You mean you think it's possible?
Well?
You know, you seem pleased. And I always thought you were a special friend of hers.
I'm on your side, Henry, that's all.
You... I can't think what it's been like all these months. I never know where she is or what she's doing, and she's away at all hours without explanation.
Then go and see this fellow Savage. Go and see him, Henry.
Really? Forgive me, but it's as though... you hate Sarah. Suddenly you hate her.
Look, Henry, I'm trying to help. You're trying to smother embarrassment, I understand. Let me go and see Savage for you. You can't, a respectable civil servant.
You'd do this for me?
Well, of course I would.
One can't spy on one's wife through a friend.
Well, I could pretend to be a jealous lover.
No, it's unthinkable, unthinkable. All I needed was a good chat just to clear my head. I'm better now.
The name was Savage, 159 Vigo Street.
Mr. Bendrix?
Yes?
Parkes, sir, from Mr. Savage's office. In connection with the inquiry you asked us to make.
Oh, yes. Yes, sir. Sit down.
Thank you, sir.
Well?
Well, sir, I have something to report. This morning, I followed the party in question to number 12 Cedar Road. She entered the flat of 1 J. Smythe and remained there for 1 hour, 10 minutes precise. there is something else, sir.
Yes?
I've been able to make friendly contact with a domestic at Mrs. Sarah Miles' address.
The what?
The maid, sir.
Oh.
Very important person in cases like these. She's been able to tell me a great deal about the habits of the party in question. It's, well, it's not always easy, sir. Some domestics are very standoffish, but I seem to have a way with them.
Yes, I'm sure you have.
Thank you, sir. Well, as a result of the friendly contact, I've been able to inspect the contents of the party's waste paper basket. I've pieced together what I think is a very interesting exhibit. You are, sir? A letter written by the party in question herself. Half of it missing. Very interesting, isn't it, sir?
Yes. Yes, you're doing a fine job, Parkes.
Thank you, sir. If you wouldn't mind mentioning the fact that Mr. Savage... it helps, sir.
Yes, I'll do that.
Thank you, sir.
Keep up the good work.
Oh, yes, sir. I'll get into touch with you when I have something further to report. Goodbye, sir.
Goodbye, Parkes. I know that I must face up to all my old loyalties, all my old fears and promises, and see them in their true perspective. For I realize that nothing matters except that we should be together now and forever. Now and forever.
Henry? Morris Bendrix. Henry, I must see you. It's urgent. How about my club in an hour?
Hello, Bendrix. Waiting long?
No, Henry. I ordered you a sherry. Do sit down.
How nice of you. Thank you.
Yeah. How's Sarah?
Oh, she's... pretty well.
And you, Henry, are you still worried?
Worried?
You were worried. You told me, sir. Did you ever consult that agent, Savage?
I hoped you'd forgotten that. I was frightfully overworked at the time.
Do you remember I offered to see Savage for
we
you?
We were both
I went to see him a few days later.
Bendrix, you had absolutely no right.
But you confided in me, Henry, and you were quite right in your suspicion.
This is unspeakable. Slandering a man's wife.
I think you should read this letter.
If you'll
excuse
me.
Just a minute, Henry. This is Sarah's writing.
Yes?
I realize that nothing matters except that we should be together now and forever. Look at it, Henry. Read it. Don't take your glasses off. Read it.
No.
Sarah's handwriting.
Don't thrust it at me. Get away from me. Let me pass. I won't read it. Without my glasses, I can't.
Henry.
Let me pass.
Drink, Mr. Parkes?
Oh, no, sir. Not while I'm on duty, sir. You go ahead, sir.
Well, what have you got for me this time?
I've really done it this time, sir, with the help of that pretty domestic. The party in question gave a cocktail party this afternoon, and I crashed it.
What for?
Well, the domestic. Very pretty she is. An astute person.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, yes. She told me the party in question keeps a journal.
Oh, you mean a diary?
That's right, sir. Did I aggress a moment, sir? I didn't like the look of the party in question.
Well, is she ill?
Seems to have a very nasty cold, sir. Well, getting back to business, sir. I managed to get hold of the journal. If that doesn't tell you the party in question's secrets, nothing will. Eh?
Yes.
You're going to read it, sir?
Yes. In private.
Oh, well, in that case, sir, I'll get along. You won't forget that reference on my behalf to Mr. Savage, will you, sir?
I'll write you a very good reference, Parkes.
Thank you, sir.
Even as I write this page, it is already tomorrow. And I'm afraid of reaching the end of the year.
As long as I go on writing today, and we're still together, I woke this morning with such a sense of happiness that it spread like sunlight, for I knew I would walk across the square to see Morris. I had decided that I would always want to see him. Dear Morris. He didn't know that for 3 days I'd tried not to see him, because I knew what torment he went through. He pretends to be so grown up in his jealousy, but he's a small boy, and I love him even more on those occasions. When we talked only a short time, the bombs came closer. Bombs we hadn't heard before. Morris begged me to go home, but I wouldn't. Then he said he would go down to the basement and see if anyone was there. I heard him go downstairs. I heard the bomb fall. The blast knocked me down. Dazed, I went downstairs, and Morris was lying under a door. huge door. I couldn't move it. I could see only his hand. And when I touched it, it had the touch of death. I went upstairs again. The room was littered with papers, pages of Morris's book. I began to pick them up. I kneeled down. I cried.
Oh, God, don't let him be dead. I love him. I'll do anything. Only just let him be alive. I'll never quarrel with him again or make him happy. I will be sweet and kind and good. I will be good. I'll live as you would want me to live. I'll give Morris up forever. I just let him be alive. Just let him be alive. Just let him be alive. Oh, God, don't let him be dead. I love him. I'll do anything. Only just let him be alive. I'll never quarrel with him again or make him happy. I will be sweet and kind and good. I will be good. I'll live as you would want me to live. I'll give Morris up forever. I just let him be alive. Just let him be alive. Just let him be alive. You're alive!
Excuse me.
You wish to speak to me?
Yes. It isn't often I talk to someone like you. It isn't often I come to a church like this.
You lost someone in the bombing?
Yes, I have lost someone. I've given him up.
Well, that's what we must all do in time. Give up those we love.
But I needn't have. You see, I followed him downstairs after the bomb hit.
I'm very sorry.
But he wasn't killed. I mean, I thought he was.
He was your husband?
No. I'd made him very unhappy. That's why I promised what I did. But of course it was all hysteria. People always are hysterical at times like this, aren't they?
What did you promise?
Well, I know that it sounds absurd, but I thought I prayed him alive. That is absurd, isn't it?
No.
But people don't come alive when they're dead. Well, at any rate, I prayed. And I made that stupid promise. And then he walked into the room. So it was all a mistake. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't be wasting your time like this.
You're not wasting my time. You haven't told me yet what you promised. Or to whom.
I promised that if God gave him back his life, I mean, let him not be dead, I wouldn't be with him again. I suppose that doesn't sound like much of a sacrifice to you, but to make a reckless sort of promise like that, and to a God that I've made out of my own fear.
I don't see that you have any problem. If you've made a vow to someone you don't believe in, why keep it?
You telling me to break it?
God gave us our free will to use for him or against him.
God, always God. Can you say nothing else?
There is nothing else.
And so ends Act Two of our play. In 1856, James Alexander Holden settled in Australia. Shortly afterwards, he set up in business as a saddler and carriage builder. Little did he realize then that nearly a century later, his name would be given to the first Australian car. For that matter, few people would have thought, when Holden made its debut on November 29th, 1948, that 11 years later, more than 600,000 Holdens would be in service throughout Australia and overseas. What has taken place in that short period of 11 years? And what contribution has General Motors Holdens made through Holden to the Australian economy? At the end of 1948, General Motors Holdens employed 8,500 people. Today, the total is 19,150, an increase of 10,500 in 11 years. In 1948, GMH relied on the resources of a few hundred suppliers. Today, it takes more than 4,000 outside firms to supply materials, components, parts, and services required for Holden manufacture. Of the total employed by this army of suppliers, approximately 35,000 men and women rely entirely on the success of Holden for their livelihood. In addition, some 16,000 people are actively engaged in distributing, selling, and servicing Holdens. This means that approximately 70,000 people currently earn an estimated £70 million through GMH operations, chief of which is Holden Production. An important aspect of the Holden project is the effect it has had on the overseas exchange situation. Because Holden has a 97% Australian content, it has saved Australia over £200 million in overseas exchange that would have been required to import a like number of vehicles from other countries. And since Holden export commenced in 1954, nearly £6 million has been earned for Australia in overseas exchange. Most significant of all is the heartening effect of GMH expansion through Holden manufacture on industry in general. Australia's own car, Holden, 11 years old this month, has played a major role in making GMH, General Motors Holdens, a link in the chain of Australia's progress, a partner in Australia's future. Now, here is the final act in the General Motors Hour production of The End of the Affair.
From the church, I wandered home. Henry told me that Morris had been taken to hospital. They called it delayed shock.
I could not forget that look on Morris's face when I left him. A look of hate. Often I phoned the hospital to inquire how he was. And one day they told me he'd left and gone away. I knew no answers, no comfort, no future. Only a past Morris didn't understand, and I could never tell him about. One day, as I walked in the park, I stopped to listen to a soapbox orator.
And that is why I tell you it's all a delusion, a trick. Do you think a merciful, all-powerful God would permit these mass murders, these mutilations? People are longing for a message of hope. Can't you see what hope there'd be if everyone in the world knew there was nothing else but what we have here? No future rewards, compensations, punishments? Then we'd begin to make this world a real heaven.
Excuse me.
Yes?
I wonder, could I talk to you privately? I've just heard you speaking.
My name is John Smythe. I have a flat at number 12 Cedar Road. You can see me there any time. It took you a long time to call on me and tell me all this.
Yes, well, peace celebrations interfered.
You've started thinking for yourself, Mrs. Miles.
Sarah.
Thank you. Call me John. You say you don't belong to any church?
No.
And you have no fixed religious beliefs?
No.
Well, then, I don't see why you regard a promise such as yours as binding. You say you prayed for something and it was answered. By whom?
God, I suppose.
You mean, above all the bombing, the battle, the cries of men, your little cry for help was heard?
You make it all sound very foolish.
The point is, Do you want to believe it?
No. That's why I'm here.
From what you tell me, you've been through a disturbing experience. It's natural you should be confused, particularly since you imagined you had an answer to a prayer. It's like a child who's scared of the dark and calls out mother. She brings a light into the room and the child thinks she's all-powerful. Shall we be children all our lives?
Sometimes one wants to be. But go on, convince me. I'm the most willing convert you've ever had.
So, you have come back.
You remember me?
Naturally.
Well, if you're going to ask me, have I kept my promise? The answer is yes. Only there's no virtue in it. I'd do much better to turn back and be a cheerful sinner than to go on in this dreary way. Now I'm what they call good. I'm no good to anyone.
You've had a great experience, you know, and you're trying to reject it. But you can't. In that one moment of acknowledgement of God, you took the first step of a long journey. You can turn back, but nothing will ever change the fact that you once took that step. You may find it further and more painful to go back than to go on.
Oh, no, the time ahead is endless.
Martha? Martha?
Yes, Mrs. Myers?
Martha, later I want you to deliver a letter.
Deliver it, Mrs. Myers? It's very wet out. Will it be far?
No, it's just down the square to Mr. Bendrick's house. Of course, I wouldn't want you to tell anyone, especially...
I understand, Mrs. Myers.
Maurice, darling, for the first time in my life, I am not unsure or afraid of the future. For I realize that nothing matters except that we should be together now and forever. No, I can't put such things on paper. I must say it all, speak the words to him. Soon.
Sit down, Sarah.
Thank you, John.
I've been waiting for you all the week.
Yes, I know. I've been very busy making plans.
What is it, Sarah? What's happened to you?
John, I've come to say goodbye. I shan't come to Cedar Road again. You see, I'm going back to Morris.
Oh. I did convince you after all. Now you can see that you don't have to keep any stupid promises.
You helped.
Helped you to find your way out of that swamp of fear and superstition.
No, John. You helped me to find God. You taught me to believe in him.
I taught you.
By your hate. John, you can't hate something that isn't there. Don't be angry with me. I sat here and I listened for weeks and months. I know the whole argument, and I don't believe a word of it. It all seems very simple. If I could love God, after all he's made me suffer, why shouldn't he love me too? Even if I do disappoint him a little.
Are you sure you've quite made up your mind about Maurice Bendricks?
Yes, I'm terribly sure. And I'm terribly happy.
And your husband?
I feel tired. I lack a vital courage as far as Henry's concerned. No, I couldn't face him. I'll pack and leave a letter behind for him.
Martha?
Yes, Mrs. Miles?
There are two suitcases in my room. In a few minutes, I want you to bring them downstairs.
You're going away?
Yes, Martha. Oh. I want you to give this letter to my husband.
Mr. Miles is coming in now, ma'am.
Yes. Martha, never mind the cases at the moment, and I'll keep the letter.
Miss Sarah.
We'll talk about it later.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, good evening, sir.
Martha.
Well, you're home early.
Yes, I am. Morris Bendrix phoned me. I had a drink at his club.
What did he want?
Oh, some discussion about a letter.
What letter?
Oh, it's all right now. It doesn't matter now. Oh, my head aches.
You're not wearing your glasses.
No, I deliberately took them off at Bendrix's club so I couldn't read.
Henry, what has happened?
Sarah, I love you. Do you know that?
Yes.
I know I'm dull for you. My friends are dull. We no longer, well, you know, do anything together.
Henry, we're good friends.
No. No, I can't even think of you as a friend. You can do without a friend. Like, I can't do without you.
Why, Henry, what is it? Did Morris say something to upset you?
No, of course not.
Why did you take off your glasses? What was it you didn't want to read?
Sir, it's just that I can't do without you. Because, you see, it's too late to begin again, and I don't want anyone else. Dear Sarah, I haven't been much of a husband, but stick it out a few years more. I will try. Stick it out, please.
I promise.
Another promise to keep. And once again the door was closed on Morris. I can't write in this book anymore. I'm so tired and I don't want any more pain.
I want Morris. I want ordinary, common human love.
Sarah, I know. I know your voice.
Morris. Please, I can't see you. I have a cold. I'm in bed.
I'll come and see you.
No, I can't see you. I won't be here. I'll get up. Morris, I'll tell the maid not to let anyone in.
I must see you.
Please, Morris, I'm asking you. I haven't asked you anything of you for a very long time. Now, promise me that you won't.
I'll come over.
I swear I'll get up and leave the house.
No, it's raining outside. You can't do that.
I can.
Sarah! Sarah! Sarah, don't go out in the rain! Sarah, wait for me! Wait! Sarah! Oh, Sarah, darling.
Oh, Morris. You've driven me out of my house and out of my bed. At least leave me in peace here.
Here? This church? Why come to this church?
Please.
Listen, Sarah. Peace is for the old and defeated. This is where we begin again. All the misery's behind us now. It was my fault, Sarah. I didn't trust you. I didn't know enough about you. But I'm secure now, and so are you.
No, I'm afraid.
You needn't be, not any longer. Now, listen to me very carefully. You can't move about with a cold like this. I want you to go home and take care of yourself for a few days. I'll find a place in the country where you can be quiet and rest. I'll come for you. I'll get a taxi so we can take your luggage away. I'll talk to him. It'll be quick. It'll be final. I know the end of the story now.
No, Morris, it's too late now.
Because you're afraid. That isn't faith you've found, but fear.
Please let me be.
For him to destroy? You called me a jealous lover, but I never demanded of you what he demands. I only want your love. He wants your life.
Have mercy on
me. Has he shown you mercy? And yet you cling to him.
I won't listen.
Because you're afraid of the truth.
Oh, Morris, please, please. Please don't drive me away from here.
Why not? This place is no refuge, it's a prison. There's a life for us together, a good life. Don't let him cheat you of it. What has he ever given you but loneliness and suffering and despair?
I created it all. I made my own loneliness and despair. I didn't seek God. I invented a God to suit my purposes. I fought belief longer than I fought love. And I haven't any fight left.
I love you, Sarah. No one has ever loved you as much before. We're going to be happy. Henry won't mind, except it is pride, and pride soon heals. He'll find himself a new habit to take your place. We're going away, Sarah. No one can stop it now. Go home now, darling. It's cold. It'll soon be dark.
I don't mind the cold. I can believe anything in the dark.
Just believe in us.
That's what I meant.
You shouldn't have run away from me like that.
It wasn't you I was running from. Please, Morris, leave me now.
You ought to be in bed, Sarah.
I shall be soon. I just want you to leave me here.
Promise you won't stay long.
Yes, I promise.
You are telling me the truth. You aren't planning to run away from me again.
Morris, dear Morris, I haven't got the strength.
I'll plan everything. You've nothing to think about but getting the country and find a place. I'll be back in a few days. I'll be straight back for you, Sarah.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Wait, please, driver. There'll be a lot of luggage coming out. Oh.
Good morning, Mr. Bendricks.
Morning, Martha. Tell Mrs. Miles I'm here, will you?
I'm sorry, sir. Mrs. Miles is ill.
Ill?
Yes, Mr. Miles is upstairs with a nurse. So is the specialist.
Specialist? It's something serious.
Oh, I don't think so, sir. Mrs. Miles has had a lot of colds lately. A few nights ago, she got out of bed with a fever and went out into the rain. Oh, Mr. Miles was annoyed about it. That's when he called in Dr. Collingwood.
How is she now?
She had a good night, sir. Mrs. Miles don't think much of doctors. She said she never had a day's illness in her life. Takes that penicillin stuff she does. But only to please Mr. Miles. He's the worrier.
Oh. Well, it's not too bad, then.
No, sir. Well, Mrs. Miles mentioned you last night, sir. As a matter of fact, she gave me, sir.
Henry.
It's the master coming downstairs now. I've something confidential to tell you before
yes,
you leave.
Yes, yes. Look on his face. Henry.
Henry, what is it? What's happened?
Sarah.
Doctor was so sure. Nothing serious. He said just now, never seen anything like this before. Her life just seemed to run away.
Sarah.
Just before the end, she started calling, Father, Father. Couldn't have been her own. She never knew her own father. He was killed when she was months old. No. Couldn't have been her own.
Mr. Bendricks.
Yes?
There was something I was to tell you. Last night, Mrs. Miles wrote your letter, and I was sent across the square to slip it under your door.
I've been away in the country. I
haven't been home yet.
Oh, Mrs. Miles said the letter was very important.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm afraid. Dearest Morris, I'm writing now, knowing you will soon be home to read this. I wouldn't telephone. Hear your voice go strange when I say I'm not going away with you. I love you. And I can't see you again.
I don't know how I'm going to live in this pain and longing. And I'm praying to God all the time that he won't be hard. Morris, my dearest, I believe there's a God. I believe everything. There's nothing I don't believe. I've fallen into belief the way I fell in love. And I've never believed in anything before as I believe now. Morris, dear, don't be angry. You were on his side all the time without knowing it. You hated in me the things he hates. You worked for our separation with your anger and jealousy and your love. So, you see, you're part of it all, Morris. Just as you are part of me. And we both are part of God. Goodbye, my dearest. Dearest.
Have it your way, Sarah. I believe that you live and that he exists. But I'm tired. Just give me a little time, Sarah. Give me a little time.
And so ends the General Motors Hour production of The End of the Affair, adapted from the Columbia film by Rube Pullen, in which you heard the following players. As the maid, Margaret Roberts. Parkis, Alan Herbert. Smythe, Kevin Brennan. Father Crumpton, Brian James. Henry, Stuart Ginn. Our stars were Margot Lee as Sarah Miles and Richard Davies as Morris Bendrix. The General Motors Hour is directed by Harry Harper, who produced tonight's play. 1 week from tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the General Motors Hour will present the comedy, A Tang of Salt, which tells of what befell an old ex-sea captain when he went to stay with some newfound friends. We shall star John Tate and Queenie Ashton. And now, a closing message. Roadworthy cars deserve car-worthy roads. And remember, 1 week from tonight, the General Motors Hour production of A Tang of Salt, starring John Tate and Queenie Ashton. Until then, this is John Deese saying goodnight to you all from the General Motors Hour, which now signs off from the Macquarie Network and cooperating stations throughout Australia.